I suspect we'll have a few more jumping on board. And let's take a deep breath and let's just get grounded and land for a minute. So if you want to close your eyes for a minute, go ahead and do that and just come into yourself first. Feel your own body in the chair. Maybe rock back and forth on your sits bones a little bit. Do some tapping on your legs, on your belly, your chest, face, head, and just kind of land. Feel yourself centered and present. And just take a few more deep breaths. And relax. Just letting everything go, letting everything go. Turn your phone over so you don't see any text messages come in while you're on the call. And go ahead and open your eyes and just, again, let's just see everybody who's here with us today. Hi, Angelica. Yay. And let's see, Martha, we have you on too, though. Okay, there you go. Angelica, can we get you on video to join us? And Debbie, can we get you in a little bit more light? You were in the light just a moment ago. I don't know what kind of got dark again. I think when you come closer to the camera, somehow that seems to help. I'm not sure, but yeah. Okay. So welcome back, everybody. And today is Chakra Day. So we're going to really talk about the chakras and go through the chakras. And what I thought I would like to do is first just remind us of our group consciousness. We're in our group classroom. So as you see everybody here with you today, just sort of feel we're entering into this energy bubble of consciousness. And, you know, as we all know, consciousness is not limited by time or space. We're in our own virtual reality here. We're in our own energy consciousness bubble that is beyond the limits of space-time. And so as we sit here, it's kind of abstract. These concepts for some of us are kind of abstract, but we know that there is this sort of nonlinear, you could say, dimensions of reality, because we experience them all the time in our lives, but they're not part of our Western culture's language, typical language. So, for example, when you have a feeling that somebody's going to call you and they call you, right? That's the intuitive. That's the sixth chakra. And you know that there's something that something happened, and then you find out, right? So this sixth sense that we have, we all have it, and it's natural to us. But in our culture, we have not learned how to develop it or cultivate it very much. So when we work with the chakras, when we open up and attune to the chakras, when we do these exercises for the chakras, you're actually developing this capability. You're developing the capacity to perceive the subtler energies that are not so concrete, but that absolutely exist. So that's the kind of fun part. And the other thing is to know that, you know, God didn't come along and tap me on the head and not you, you know, to have these abilities to perceive subtle energy. Everybody has the innate capability to do that. You all have a human birth this lifetime. So inherent in being a human being are these abilities. So just like if you were to learn how to play the piano, you might start out pretty choppy and, you know, hitting a lot of bad notes at first. Well, like anything, the more we practice it, the more we develop that skill to perceive subtle energy. There are people out there who can have much better subtle sense perception than I do, much more developed, much more practiced. And there are others who are just beginning and starting out. And you might find as you start to do this that perceptions come to you more easily than others. The only difference between, and let me just say it this way also, you are perceiving subtle energy now, already, all the time. The only difference between you and someone else is that you are doubting what you are perceiving, perhaps more than I am. I'm going to just say that one more time. The only difference is you are doubting what you are perceiving because it's not in your belief system yet. Okay? So what I would like to do today is I'm going to talk a little bit about the chakras first. We're going to go through the PowerPoint. And then I'm going to ask you, in your homework, I asked you to think about, to work on or practice, read through, and just sort of take a shot at what you feel is your strongest chakras and your weakest chakras. And your weakest chakra. And so we're going to talk through the chakras first, and then we're going to do some simple chakra exercises together as a group. And then we'll go through individually and do a little check-in and see what you found out from your own sort of reading and then and experience and then what you found out from what we're going to do today. Sound good so far? Okay, good. All right, so let me go to a screen share. And we're going to take a look at the chakras. Okay, so there are, by the way, more than seven chakras. There are subtler chakras, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. They go up higher than that. They all influence the subtle energy body. But for our concern right now, we're going to focus on the primary chakras, seven primary chakras, because they have the most to do with our physical incarnation, the physical capacity to be here in a body on the planet at this time. Okay, so that's the reason that we're focusing on these seven. And they are a map of our mind and our bodies, the consciousness in our mind of our body, our physical body, and our subtle energy body. So let me just start by looking at this picture. So this is a little bit hard to see, but the front chakras are the feeling chakras, right? This is in your book too, but so the chakras are described as chakras 1 through 7, the one chakra being the root chakra that opens at the base of the spine. I'm not sure who's not on mute, but there's some noise coming in that if somebody can just check to see if you can mute, that would be great. Okay, so chakra 1 is the root chakra, and that has to, and I'll talk through them more specifically in a minute. And chakra 7, you could say, is its mate, its opposite, at the crown of the head. So chakra 1 and 7 have this relationship of bringing spirit into the physical level and bringing the physical level and connecting it into spirit. Chakra 2, 3, 4, and 5 have what's called an A opening in the front of the body, which has to do with our feeling centers, right? So when we hug somebody, we hug front to front. We don't hug back to back. We hug front to front because it feels good, right? So we want to hug from our feeling centers because it feels good. The back centers, chakra 2B, 3B, 4B, 5B, and also 6B, have to do with our will. Our will and manifesting, using our will energy to manifest things in the world. So if I'm, you know, we have all these sayings like, oh, that person's really weak-willed. Well, if somebody's weak-willed, these chakras in the rear of the body are probably not very well developed. If somebody's got a lot of back problems, there's probably some distortion in the will chakras. If somebody has a hard time feeling their feelings, then the feeling chakras may be closed in the front of the body. And the sixth and seventh chakras are our mental centers or our reason centers. So this is where we use a lot of the reasoning mind. So somebody who's a very highly developed intellectual may have very big reason centers, 6A, 6B, and 7 mental centers, and undeveloped feeling centers or undeveloped will centers. So if we have those things, that person's in their head all the time, they're so cold, they don't feel anything, and that's going to be reflected in the chakra system. So all these different sayings that we have are actually indicators of what our energy, our chakra energy system is doing. Make sense so far? Yes, Angelica. Okay, I can't hardly hear you. Can you say that again?
Is there a difference between 6A and 6B?
Yes. 6A is more of the, has to do more with the intuitive, imaginative, abstract, and 6B has more to do, all the rear chakras have more to do with manifesting those ideas in the world, bringing them into manifestation. So let's say 6A might be, oh, I have this great idea for a project, but if I never manifest that project, that might be because this chakra is closed. I have three ideas for a great books, but I never write them. Okay? So that would be the difference. Any other questions on this so far? You might have to just holler at me if I don't see you, because I can't, when I have a screen share, I can't see everybody on my screen at the same time. Yeah, Debbie.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted now. They were talking in the Hara about this funnel at the top of the head. So is that what that little picture is of that?
No, this picture here is the crown chakra. I will talk about the Hara, the funnel at the top of the Hara picture in a little bit.
Okay, because I didn't know if the funnel was like that open and then comes narrow, or narrow and comes open. So.
Yeah, I'm going to get to the Hara. I'll answer that when we get there. How's that?
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
So hold on to that thought.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So there's probably not any one time that all those chakras on both sides and bottom and top are ever balanced, but the goal is to probably try to like balance it out as much as possible, or... I guess sometimes we are going to have more strength, but I guess it's just becoming aware that maybe our feelings are turned off sometimes. That's what's going to go along with that intuitiveness.
Yes, absolutely. All of what you're saying is correct and accurate. There are times when depending on our mood, where the chakras will be more open or more closed. If we in a scary situation, we might, block ourselves. The goal, if there was a goal, I guess I could say that, yeah, the more we can learn how to be open and balanced, the healthier we probably will become. But being the imperfect human beings that we are, I have yet to meet anybody who's always open on all chakras all the time. But I do think that that as we grow spiritually, as we grow in our consciousness, that it is an option to stay more open more frequently and more balanced more frequently. So yes, there's great potential for us to evolve in this direction.
Well, I was thinking, because of the musical notes that are in here, it's like an instrument, you wouldn't play all notes at once.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, ideally, we want to be as open and balanced and integrated as we can be, right? So, and the musical notes help us to do that, right? So, the other interesting thing, well, I'll save that till we get to the fifth chakra, but the other thing I just want to point out is sometimes we will see when there's disease or there's an accident or an injury of some kind, the root of the chakra, when I'm calling the root of the chakra, where it plugs into what is called the vertical energy current, right? This current, this is not really a line. It's more of a vibrational current that goes through the center of the body. And when there's an accident or a distortion, sometimes the root of the chakra will be dangling. It won't be, it'll come disconnected from the vertical energy current, and we'll start to feel extremely depleted. Our energy will become extremely depleted. So that could show up in things like chronic fatigue syndrome, or when there's an accident or an injury or a disease where we disconnect from our vertical energy current, our life force. And this life force is energy that is drawn up from the earth into the root chakra that feeds the whole vertical energy current, and also down from the heavens, from the universal field, the universal energy field or life force. So it's being fed from both directions, earth energy, grounded energy, and also heaven energy or universal energy. Okay. So that's one way we can begin to look at this. All right, so let's take a look now here at the chakras, starting at the bottom. Chakras 1 and 2B hold a lot of our will energy, and they have to do with our sense of self, our individuation, our feeling of wholeness, and in our individual self. So when this is not well developed, we go into sort of codependent kind of relationships. So when we don't have a strong connection to the root or to the first chakra or the second, the back of the second chakra, the sacral chakra, the base of the spine, that's our sense of individuation starts there. And then chakras 3, 4, and 5 have to do with interpersonal relationships. So when one of these is not well developed, we may have difficulty connecting with others, being intimate with others, disclosing our feelings with others. That will show up in the interpersonal realm. And they have to do with our communication, our interactions, how we express our sense of self in relationships. So if we don't have a strong sense of self, it's going to be really hard to express that sense of self in relationships. And then we go up to chakras 6 and 7, and this is more of the what's called the transpersonal self, and it has to do with our higher intellectual mind, our intuition, our spirituality, our relationship with something that is of a greater good than just ourselves. It has to do with giving back in service or giving to community or the desire to give to community. If we're really mostly interested in our own self-survival, if we're really stuck, even struggling in our own sense of survival, it's going to be really hard to think about giving back to others, to the world and to community. And this is the transpersonal self. So we have our personal self, our interpersonal self, and our transpersonal self. So I'll just say that one more time. Our personal self is in the lower chakras. Our interpersonal self is expressed in chakras 3, 4, and 5. And our transpersonal self is expressed in the chakras 6 and 7, the higher chakras. Okay. So let's look more closely now at the root chakra. And the affirmation for the root chakra is, I'm here. I'm here. So let's just do this for a minute. Let's just do some stomping with your feet on the floor. So just taking your feet and tapping your feet on the floor. Maybe sit, you know, bouncing a little bit on your chair. Ha, let some sound out. Ha. And I'm here, and just say it and close your eyes for a minute and just say it out loud to yourself. I'm here. I'm here. And try to find your low tones, right? Your low tones in your voice and in your body. Nobody can hear you. You can all hear me, but you can't hear each other. So be loud for a minute. I'm here. And really feel it and, you know, look at your body as you say it and see that you are here in your body. I'm here. I'm here. So that's the root chakra. And the root chakra has to do with basic survival, basic survival. So this is about having a roof over your head, having a job where you can support yourself, having money where you can buy food. You know, these are all root chakra issues where I have trouble. If I'm having trouble just making ends meet and supporting myself, there might be some difficulty at the level of the root chakra and just basic survival needs. Now, if somebody else is supporting you and that's working for you in your life, that's great. You know, that doesn't mean that, oh, you must have a root chakra issue because somebody else is paying the bills. No, no. If you're in a situation where you've got all your survival, basic survival needs met, you're probably doing pretty good there. Where else it might show up is that it has to do with our will in the world and our ability to manifest and our relationship with our own physical body. When you hear people say things like, I hate my body, I can't stand my body, I don't want to feel my body, those are root chakra issues, right? At some point in our life, we must realize that you are doomed or blessed, whichever way you want to think about it, to have to exercise for the rest of your life in order to be healthy. If that realization hasn't dawned in the mind, there are some issues with the root chakra because it is part of this gift, this thing that we've been given, this physical body. It's like if you don't put oil in your car, it's not going to run for you. You don't change your tires from time to time, they're going to wear out, right? So we have to have this, you know, that kind of very holy regard toward this physical body that we're in to carry us through so that we can do our spiritual work in the world. So issues around basic survival, issues around feeling connected to our body, in our body, all have to do with the root chakra. The other thing I want to add about that is that when you might notice feeling spacey or spaced out, or you're having a conversation with somebody and all of a sudden you check out or you tune out or you get overly flooded with emotion and you just disassociate and you're not connected anymore, that's a disconnection from the physical level also. So even if we just tap our face when that happens, it can help to bring us back into presence. Or just feel the body, stroke the body a little bit to come back into connection with the physical body. When there's a trauma, we leave our physical body. We disconnect from the physical body, some of us, as a coping mechanism. And we'll talk about that more down the road. And Kimberly will talk about that more in her trauma course section, which is so crucial for us to understand. Okay, second chakra. Orange, and I feel is the affirmation. Okay, in the first chakra, it's I'm here. If you feel like you're spacey coming out of your body, I'm here. In the second chakra, it's I feel. So if you feel disconnected with the feelings, then you want to take the time, you can stroke over the second chakra. So if you want to just do that for a minute, I'll just stand up to kind of show you. Let's come back here. Can you all see me? I can't tell if you can always see me, but just over the second chakra, just take your hands. If you need to stand up to do that, you can do that, or you can do it seated either way. And just do circular stroking over the pelvis. And I feel, and as you do that, close your eyes for a moment and just bring in the affirmation and say it out loud. I feel, and breathing as you do that, I feel. I feel. And then go ahead and tap your lower belly. So with your hands, just tap and breathe. And again, saying, I feel, and say it out loud, loud enough that you can really hear it yourself. Closed eyes so that you can tune into your body and really pay attention to actually feeling it. I feel, breathing as you do it, I feel. And then just vibrate. Take your hands and just vibrate or shake your lower belly. I feel. And you can take one hand and put it on the back of the sacrum and do some stroking and shaking back there too, because remember, chakra 2 has an opening to the front and the back. So I feel, closed eyes and just breathing. And if you want, you can just pause for a minute now and just notice what's there just from stimulating that chakra, noticing what you're feeling. If you want to put something in the chat about what you felt from doing that, go ahead and do that. And the second chakra is about our sensuality, our creativity, our sexuality, our connection to our senses, to our five senses. It's about feeling our emotions deeply. It's about creation and creativity. I mean, the ultimate in creation is birthing a child, right? For those of you who have birthed a child, this second chakra had to be open and engaged. For issues of women trying to get pregnant, who are having trouble getting pregnant, there's probably a block or a problem here in the second chakra. So I've worked with several clients who've had issues trying to get pregnant, and work on this chakra, it opens right up and they get pregnant. Energy healing work is fantastic for women who are trying to conceive. Way cheaper and way less painful than in vitro fertilization. Did somebody want to jump in there? I can't see everybody, so.
Laura, the screen is frozen on the root one slide.
Oh. How about now? No? Let me try something else. I forgot to go to the slideshow to do this. Let's try it again. How's that? Can you see that? Still stuck. Let me come out of screen.
Yeah, you might try getting out of screen sharing and then
Let's try it again. Okay. How about now? Still frozen? On second chakra.
Well, it's for me, it's still trying to get there.
Well, yeah, mine is black, the screen.
Huh. Let me try stopping the share again.
I didn't want to stop because I really enjoyed what you were saying.
Okay. Well, no, that's fine. Let's try that. Let's try to catch up with this. We're good? We're good. All right. Yay. Okay. So we're on the second chakra. Okay. So so it also has to do, so we're talking about fertility and conceiving and it also has to do with obsessiveness about when it's distorted, when the second chakra is distorted, it can look like obsessiveness about around food, especially. So for those of us who have challenges or are working with clients who have challenges around obsessive eating, compulsive eating, these are second chakra issues. These are issues of emotional feeling. And these are oftentimes issues of displaced emotional feeling. We're disconnected from feeling painful feelings that we mask through the use of food. But it could be not just food. It could be obsessive sexual behavior. It could be addictive behavior, drugs or alcohol. Anything that we do obsessively is oftentimes related to the second chakra, the sacral chakra. So there's... and also to a sense of greed, of feelings of not enoughness, fear of not enough. There's not going to be enough, whatever the enough is, enough food, enough time, enough energy, enough. I hear that presenting complaint a lot. There's not enough. So this has to do also with the second chakra and with a discomfort around feeling certain feelings. And usually those will be feelings that we have shame around, shame of negativity or shame of grief or shame of a sense of ourself, of self-esteem somehow. So those are all when the second chakra is distorted. Now, as I say this to you, I want us to keep in mind that the chakras are like, they're not like lines in a sand, like, okay, this issue starts, has to be second chakra issue. They're like layers of the ocean. You know, where's the bottom of the ocean? Where's the middle of the ocean? And where's the top of the ocean? Well, it's kind of a wavy line, so to speak. So the same is true with the chakras. They're subjective in nature. They're not hard. They're abstract. They're not hard lines in the sand. Okay, so let's go to the third chakra, solar plexus. Color is yellow. And the solar plexus, the affirmation is, I'm whole. I'm whole. So let's, I'm whole. It could be, you know, you can also create your own affirmations. I'm whole, or this is me, that is you, I'm myself, I am me, I have my own sense of self. So let's do a couple solar plexus exercises, and that can be as simple as just a seat in your seat, just a twisting movement. And breathing, go ahead and try that, just breathing, and it's always best if you can close your eyes. And we're just bringing our awareness to the area of our solar plexus as we do that twisting movement. Breathing and twisting. Breathing and twisting, breathing and twisting. And you can also try putting your hands behind your back and doing the twist that way to bring more awareness to the back of the solar plexus. So remember that each chakra has an opening in the back. And we're just opening up that solar plexus chakra. And then you can tap your belly with little taps. And this is also really good for digestion. Okay, so just notice how you feel from doing that much. And if you want to put some comments or reactions in the chat, you can do that. And this is, can be really nice to do before you eat a meal, just to kind of connect to your solar plexus chakra. And, you know, get in touch with yourself and feel, you know, am I hungry? How hungry am I? You know, stimulate your digestive organs. By the way, all the organs of the body that are there, that are in the proximity of that chakra, are governed by that chakra. So the solar plexus governs the stomach, the adrenals, the liver, the pancreas, the kidneys. The second chakra governs the large intestine, the colon, so every chakra, you just have to look at the actual physical proximity of where it lives to know of where the organs live, to know what chakra governs it. So it makes really great sense. Okay, so this third chakra, solar plexus, opens in the back, and the rear chakra of the chakra will have to do with how we express our relationships in the world. So this might be, if I'm only open in the front, I might have a secret, you know, some secret feelings about somebody that I never tell them. I had a client just the other day who I was working with who was talking about, you know, how she was feeling about a person who had wanted to come for a visit and stay with her, and she really didn't want them to come. And I said, well, you know, but she felt sort of backed into a corner, and she sort of felt a little bit manipulated, and she told them yes. And I said, well, have you thought about actually letting them know what you really feel? Oh my God, no, I would never do that. So that's an issue of 3B, right? In the rear of the chakra, being able to express what I really feel. there are gracious ways to do that. But for her to tell somebody, you know, well, no, I already committed. I can't go back on my word now. And I said, well, are you not allowed to change your mind or have a change of heart or to, well, no, not in this situation. I committed. One of the things that I said to her, which I think can be very helpful for anybody working with third chakra issues, and it's a pretty much can feel like a very obvious one, but it's amazing how much it eludes us when we're kind of stuck here, which is, if the situation were reversed, if you had called up a friend and said, hey, can I stay with you? And they called you up and said, you know what? I really can't handle this right now. I'm so sorry. I don't want you to feel badly, but do you mind if you make another arrangement? Would it be okay if you made? What would you say? I would say, well, of course I would understand, right? So when we reverse the situation, it's much easier for us to objectify that circumstance if we just simply reverse it. So I want to offer that to all of you to try on for yourself. If you're ever feeling like, oh God, I've committed to something I don't want to do, or I feel funny about it now or awkward about it now, you know, allow yourself to just simply do a reversal and see what can come out of that for you. Those are all third chakra issues. They have to do with our beliefs and how our beliefs are serving us or not serving us in the world. So also it can show up with really negative attitudes, negative thinking, critical thinking, finding ourselves being very critical, having a bad attitude. When it's distorted, it will look like a really skeptical attitude, really doubting attitude in the world. Okay, so take a deep breath. Just kind of noting and noticing what you might really relate to or identify with for yourself as you hear these things. Okay, and so we're going to go to the heart chakra. And the affirmation for the heart chakra is, I love. I love. And that love can be expressed in many ways through, it can be with people, it can be with nature, it can be with animals. But it's just the ability to feel love and to express love. So let's do a couple of heart chakra exercises for a minute. Just close your eyes and just do some circular stroking over the heart center, right in the center of the chest, taking your two palms and just doing some circular stroking right on your body and breathing. And just close your eyes and feel what that feels like. And as you stroke over your heart center, you might notice it might bring up, you know, that it feels blocked or that it's hard to feel or that it could feel like it's stuck or like there's a rock there. Whatever you notice, or it could feel very tender or delicate or vulnerable, whatever you notice, try to not judge it. If you notice judgments come up, don't judge the judgments, just notice the judgments with your objective observer. And just notice what it feels like to stroke over the heart center and breathe. And take a couple big sighs. Just big sighs of relief as you do that. Just breathing and sighing. And just see if you can notice as you sigh out on the exhales, what you've been holding in there. What are you holding in your heart center? So as you breathe and as you sigh, what can you let go of? What would you like to let go of as you sigh your breath out? Okay. And if you want to do any sharing in the chat, go ahead and do that and you can open your eyes. Okay, so the heart chakra has to do with feelings of generosity, feelings of kindness. And this, by the way, includes yourself. Feelings of kindness toward yourself. Feelings of generosity toward yourself as well as toward others. Being able to receive as well as give in relationship. So many of us as practitioners, as people in the giving professions, healers, helpers, you know, therapists, we're great at giving. We're not always so great at receiving. And that's a real disservice to other people when we don't receive. It's also a subtle way of distorting the heart chakra, of being manipulative and controlling. It's a subtle way of controlling. Many practitioners, many therapists, many people in the helping professions hide behind the mask of giving, 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 and use it as a mask to avoid the vulnerability of receiving. And in actuality, there's a subtle arrogance to that, and a subtle defensiveness to that, that I wanted to say, practitioner, beware. And I'm saying that, you know, all these things that I'm talking about, they're all things that I'm not immune to myself as I share them with you. I love teaching because it reminds me that I have to practice what I'm preaching, you know, and to keep looking at, okay, how am I doing at receiving right now? How am I doing at humbleness, which is the flip side of arrogance, right? So to really, and people can feel it when we become, you know, it can be a painful thing when somebody says to you, when you say to somebody, do you want a glass of water? And they go, oh, no. From their heart, that gesture, that they might have been wanting to give that gesture from their heart, and you're saying no to it. So I just want to begin to notice, how are we at receiving, and what's the impact on other people when we refuse what's being offered to us? Okay. That's the heart chakra. And let's see what else I want to say about the heart chakra. When we are resentful, when we're holding on to a resentment, when we are not forgiving, when we hold on to bitterness or anger, that's a distortion in the heart chakra. And why do we distort any chakra? There's a feeling we are afraid to feel, that we need to learn how to feel. 90%, I would say, of my work with clients is helping them to feel feelings that they have rejected as unacceptable. That's most of my practice. Helping, and this is subtle. It's not always so obvious, right? But that's the work, is helping us to feel feelings that we have at some point in our life regarded as unacceptable, as rejectable, and feeling safe to feel them, creating a safe space for that person to feel those very vulnerable feelings. Okay. Throat chakra. I speak is the affirmation. And it could be, I speak the truth. I speak what's real for me. I almost hate to say I speak the truth, because it becomes such a buzzy kind of word. You know, there's such an attitude of arrogance behind, I speak the truth. Well, this is my truth. When we say it with that attitude, it's with such a closed heart chakra, right? So we really want, as we go up the ladder of our chakras, we want to keep ourselves open, right? We want that truth to be spoken from our heart. When we withhold here, you know, and also, by the way, interestingly enough, illnesses. So if you think about, for example, throat cancer. So the question is, you know, what do you need to say? You know, if it's lung cancer, you know, tell me about your love, your relationships, and your, you know, how you feel or have felt loved or not loved in your life. If it's solar plexus, right? If it's cancer of the liver or stomach cancer. If it's breast cancer, it's the heart chakra, right? So everything is related to the expression that comes out of those different chakras. So to open the heart, the throat chakra, we're going to do some humming. So just close your eyes for a minute. And what can be really cool to do this, by the way, is if you plug your ears, if you put your fingers in your ears and then you hum, you're gonna feel the vibration of that hum opening and direct it toward your throat chakra. So you'll feel the vibrations more when you plug your ears. So that might help to direct the vibrations into your throat. And see if you can feel those vibrations all over your throat, the front, the back. Maybe bring the vibration into your chest and hum loud. I have a voice. Okay, so it's also about, you know, the right to feel heard. You know, many of us grew up with the children should be seen and not heard adagio, right? So if that was your home life growing up, you might have learned how to be quiet. Or if you got punished for speaking out, you might have learned how to withhold what you really want to say. There might be fear that comes up when you really want to express and speak the truth, which certainly was one of the things that my client that I was just telling you about was facing. You know, are you kidding? I can't possibly do that. She was terrified at the idea of calling this woman back and saying, you know, I just don't feel like I can do that right now. So speaking up, speaking out, sharing what we really feel, in actuality, when we are brave enough to speak what is authentically true for us, it creates greater trust in relationship. It creates deeper trust because that person knows that you are doing something that is challenging for you to do, to speak out the truth. And so very often it creates a much more authentic, real dynamic connection with other people. Okay, so that's the throat chakra. Then we have the sixth chakra, the psychic chakra, and the affirmation there is, I see. I see. And we can just close your eyes for a minute if you want to just try stroking the front and back of your forehead, the back of the head and the front of the head. Close your eyes. And just, this is the, for this chakra, to stimulate and open this chakra, we just use the power of visualization. So even as you do this little movement with your eyes closed, you can visualize a beautiful light coming out of both, like a searchlight coming out of the front and back of your forehead. Just visualize, just imagine. So the gift of imagination is very much connected to the sixth chakra. This is your imagination, your psychic eye, your spiritual eye. Just imagine like a searchlight, there is light coming out of the front and the back of your head. And just turn your head a little bit from side to side and imagine, you can keep your eyes closed if you want while you do this. Just imagine that searchlight is lighting up everything in the room around you. And you might actually feel that sensation in your head as you do that. You might feel the sensation of light coming in, moving in and out of your head as you do that. And if you want to put any comments in the chat about that, you can do that. Okay, the color of the sixth chakra is indigo, like the color of the night sky, indigo blue. And the sixth chakra has to do with our intuition, our higher mind, has to do with insights. Whenever you have those aha moments in life, whether it's an idea that comes to you, you're working on a project, you get a new idea, that's the sixth chakra kicking in. It's going, aha, right? Light bulb. You know those pictures that those cartoons of somebody gets an idea and the light bulb comes up? They put the light bulb up around the head, right? They don't put it down at your belly, right? Because this is where the sixth chakra is. The sixth chakra is in the forehead, the psychic eye, that's your intuition, that's your imagination, that's your aha moment, your awareness, your realization. They all register there at the sixth chakra. Okay, what else do I want to say about the sixth chakra? It also has to do with our spiritual relationship or our spiritual connection to something spiritual. And for every person, what spiritual means is unique to them. You don't even have to, quote, believe in God to have a nicely developed sixth chakra, but you do have to believe in a force greater than yourself. You do have to have a relationship with, whether you call that nature, whether you call that breath, whether you call that spirit, whether you call that God or Christ light or whatever you call it, is very personal and individual for every human being. And we want to respect each individual's belief system for what they choose to cultivate in their sixth chakra. But if the sixth chakra is distorted, that's where we will have also, again, a very kind of, and I know I think I said this about the third chakra, but here it will show up also skepticism, doubt, lack of faith, belief in a negative outcome rather than a positive outcome. Belief that the world is out to get you. I remember seeing somebody had a saying written on their wall once when I was in college on their dorm room wall. It said, life is a shit sandwich, but you got to eat, right? So not much sixth chakra development there. So that's a classic distortion of the sixth chakra. No faith or belief in an outcome that could be bigger than me, that could be positive or hopeful. No belief that there is perhaps an order to the universe rather than a disorder to the universe. I'm doomed. I'm the one who, you know, everything bad always happens to me, you know. So the sort of victim attitude can very often be a distortion in the sixth chakra. Go ahead, Angelica.
I was just wondering if you have any tips for awakening this chakra, because I noticed that I feel it when I'm in spiritual places like the top of a mountain or in the ocean, but it's hard for me to access it in my everyday life. Do you have tips?
Yeah. First of all, I love that you can feel it on the top of a mountain or in the ocean. This is great. So the amazing thing about the power of visualization, which is very much connected to the sixth chakra, part of the sixth chakra, is you can do even 5-minute meditation and just meditate on being back on top of that mountain. But this becomes a practice, and to develop that is a practice. And you're going to sit down and you might do great the first time. You might do great the second time. You might be okay the third time. The fourth time, you'd be like, okay, I'm kind of bored now. But practice, like anything, it's practice. And not every time, you know, if you ever played a musical instrument, some days you sit down at the piano and you're like on a roll. And then the next day it's like, oh my God, I'm back to like square one. So the same is true for practicing visualization. It's a very powerful form of meditation. And whatever helps you evoke that beautiful feeling of connection that you just described, do that. And you can create your own visualization. You can create, you can use your imagination to put yourself in a place you've never been. It can be a make-believe place too. It can be your own Shangri-La. But whatever will help you generate that feeling, it comes from the sixth chakra, and just use your beautiful imagination to help you do that. So there's one tip right there. Okay. So let's see what else about the sixth chakra. Yeah, so people who are suspicious or wary, a lot of insecurity, insecurity and beliefs of being a victim show up in the sixth chakra also. Oh, you know, you know, I would have been fine if this hadn't happened to me, or if he hadn't done this, or if she hadn't said that. A lot of victim language can also be connected to the sixth chakra. Okay, so the last one, crown chakra, the affirmation is, I know. I know. And we've all had moments in our lives, right? We've all had moments where you just know. Like, I know I don't want to go out right now. I know I need to stay home right now. I know I need to call my friend right now. I know when we have that feeling of deep, strong knowing, it's a felt sense. It's not just an, it's not, it's a concrete, real, solid knowing. And that's, that capacity is within us all the time to develop that, that connection to the part of us that knows. It's, that's our inner wisdom, what I call our, in our connection to our essential self, connects through that crown chakra to the knowing. I know in my heart there's a wisdom there. It's beyond intuition. It's a knowing of the truth that is a part of our very being. So let's do something just right now to open that up a bit. So just close your eyes again. And I want you just to imagine yourself, like you can put your hand on the top of your head, on, right on your crown, and then slowly lift your hand up and keep your eyes closed. Lift your hand up and reach it toward the heavens. Just reach, 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 and point your hand up toward the heavens. And just feel this feeling of knowing connection. Feel the feeling of knowing connection. And just breathing and noticing that feeling. And then when you're ready, you can relax your arm. And this crown chakra has to do with understanding the power of our spiritual connection. And knowing that this is a power greater than ourselves, right? So this is, again, the relationship with connection to a power greater than ourselves. And our willingness to be a conduit for that power. Our willingness to manifest that power through our physical presence in the world. And when it's distorted, it might show up like a lot of self-doubt, a lot of mistrust, and a lack of faith. And it'll also show up as confusion, and it can also show up as depression when there's a lack of connection to that greater power. Okay. So now we're going to just look at Hara and talk about Hara for a minute and come back to Martha's question. Okay. So Hara is another frequency that is more subtle than the chakra system. Okay. This is now another, this is more like a state of being. That's a much subtler. So if you could say the chakra system is like working with the electromagnetic field. So think of the electrochemical charge of gunpowder, right, in a gun. And then think of the quantum level of subtle of the atomic bomb, right? We're now we're at the atomic level. So you could say way, way, way more subtle than electrical chemical charge of the chakra system. We're at the atomic level, way subtler on the level of the Hara. And the Hara connects to our Tantien, which martial artists talk about the Tantien a lot. People who are martial artists, their Hara, they call it their Hara or their Tantien or their Qi or their Ki, right, comes from here, right, from right in the middle of the second chakra, but on a different level of frequency. So this is way subtler and way more powerful. And this hara, and then there's a point here at the tantia, and then there's a point here at the high heart, just above the heart chakra, in the center of the chest, which is called the soul seat. And this is where you could say the soul's purpose incarnates and sort of lives or is registered here in the soul seat. Again, we're talking at this very subtle quantum mechanical level of frequency. And then this funnel that Martha was talking about earlier, this upside down or this funnel, this arrow here, which really kind of should be flipped sort of upside down, is what we call, what Barbara Brennan calls anyway, the point of individuation, where our individual soul travels into a physical body and manifests our individual journey in this life, in this body. So when we kind of connect with our hara, and I like to sort of, we can all try this now, just take your fingers and put, it's really about 3 feet above your head, so you won't be able to probably reach it literally, but just feel that you're connecting to that hara and drawing in the soul. You're not drawing it in, it's already in, but just connecting to that. And you're drawing your center line, what I call drawing your center line, straight through the center of your body. And feel that there are laser beams coming out of your fingertips that you're just sort of penetrating right through your physical body. Drawing that center line. And then grounding yourself into the earth, coming all the way down through your body into the earth. And when you feel confused about what am I doing with my life? What am I supposed to do? What's my life purpose? What's my goal? What am I supposed to actually be doing? That lives in your hara. Your life purpose lives in your hara. And life purpose, by the way, doesn't necessarily always mean, oh, what's your job, your profession? Life purpose could be something completely different from an actual, quote, career, as we so put ourselves in that Western box of life purpose. Okay, so that's the hara. And we'll experience that more in the awakening retreat seminar that's coming up in May. Yeah, Debbie.
So that funnel, it's like a wide and then it narrows down into our individual.
I wouldn't say that it's wide. I would say it's an individual point, or a point is not really an appropriate word, but individual placeholder, I guess is the best word I could use, placeholder, that connects to the universe. But actually, I wouldn't say you're wrong either. I mean, that could be another way of putting it, that yes, there's a narrowing down into our individual self.
I'm asking because that's how it was described in one of the videos, the hara video. It was
described as
a funnel, so I was trying to wrap, trying to figure out what.
Yeah. Yes, you could think of it as a very wide funnel that comes down into a very narrow one. I think that would be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. Okay, so that was a lot of content. I want to just touch in for a minute on a reminder to save the dates for Kimberly's training, The Energy and Physiology of Trauma. That's coming up. So we'll have a registration page for that for you probably by the next class. And speaking of the next class, Kimberly is going to be leading us in the next class because I will be in India. And so I will miss you there, but you're going to be in great hands with her. And I will catch up with all of you and watch the class when I come back. So questions. What I'd like to do is, we're kind of a smallish group today that's live. So what I'd like to do is just go around and if you have questions, we'll do it as we go around and do our check-in now. I'd love to hear what came up for you as we ran through the chakras, what stood out, and if you have any questions, you can bring, this would be a time to bring those in. So, Jan, do you want to start us out?
Yeah. You know, as we were doing this, it's interesting because this year, as I've been teaching at the college, I actually do all of these. I teach about chakras to my students, and ever since fall, I've been doing all of these exercises 10 times a week.
Oh, great.
I just realized, you know, what a blessing that is to have been able to do that, and it has made a huge difference, I think. Just even realizing that in that sense, I'm balancing the chakras. And I have felt more of a sense of wholeness. I still do struggle sometimes with that sense of wholeness. So I think I'm kind of with Lar in that that third chakra, the solar plexus chakra, that would be where I would need to strengthen. But this has been really fun and enlightening, and I'm excited to even have more things to help my students.
So great. Beautiful. Thanks, Jan. Laura, you want to check in? What your strongest and weakest chakras?
Oh. Yesterday, I felt connected to or disconnected to most of the chakras and felt like my weakest chakra was the third. But the way you expressed it today, I may have, I feel like my seventh chakra my seventh chakra I could work on quite strongly. Yeah, I feel, it's interesting because I trust, but then I mistrust as well. I have both in me, depending who I'm with. And then sometimes it has nothing to do with the other. It's just that they wake this up in me, and sometimes it has to do with the other. So I feel like I can work on all the chakras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was wondering during the session when we were opening our sixth chakra, I felt nauseous all of a sudden. Mm. One of us, Angelica, also felt a little bit like that, and we've been chatting about it. And mm-hmm. I went to my my pants that has an elastic band and lowered it. Mm-hmm. To alleviate the nausea.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's not unusual for as we start to open the chakras, and it's interesting how even just these seemingly benign little movements, but when we're really connected and tuning into the chakras, they really can stimulate the energy to move. So the nauseousness is not an unusual reaction, and I like that you just, you know, and so you might need to just slow down a little bit with what you're doing. Come back to doing some grounding to let your body start to catch up. So it's like, you know, I think I might have given this analogy once before, but just for want of a better one at the moment, you know, when your hose has been outside in the winter all winter long and it's kind of clogged with leaves, right? And you turn the water on for the first time in the spring and it bumps up against those clogged up leaves and it kind of, you know, kind of does that before they shoot out. So you could say that's kind of what goes on in our system a bit. We're the energy is starting to move, so it's going to rub up against the blocks. It might feel like, it's churning everything a bit. So just regulate it a bit, maybe slow down a little. But I would say I'd encourage you to, you know, keep exploring, keep bringing that movement in there a little bit. So thanks for sharing that, Laura.
Yeah, it's interesting that I every day I touch my forehead and my heart. Every morning when I wake up, and then my first I touch my stomach and my heart, and then here. And I usually don't have that feeling. Maybe it has to do with the movement that what kind of movement were we doing? We were moving like this.
Yeah. Any kind of physical touch like that is gonna, it's very intuitive that your hands know right where they want to go, where they need to go. So thank you for sharing that. We're gonna go on so we can get everybody in here. Jill, do you want to check in?
Hi. I have felt a little bit of nausea too, not very much, but I've also felt my weaker chakras. When I first started reading it, I thought, oh, I'm weak on all of them. That was my first thought, but I think that my second chakra for sure, and my third, and that, you know, you have to be grounded for those too. So, but that's where I've been thinking about how our physical body can manifest problems like gut permeability, you know, or gut issues, just all, you know, circulatory, whatever problems that a person might have. And I believe we're spirit beings first before we came into the body. And so the body's like the second place for things to manifest out. So it's interesting. I had this thought some point in this class where it's like, okay, well, so when a person is about ready to die, are all their chakras just closed and clogged up? You know, and that was one of the questions I had.
Actually, in the dying process, we leave through the crown, right? So the lower chakras start to almost, you could say, disappear, right? They all the energy goes up, starts to go up. So we're less and less connected to the physical body. And the crown gets bigger and wider and opens up more. So people who have not been, quote, spiritual all their lives oftentimes start to become more spiritual because they're perceiving. Even Alzheimer's, I have a kind of my own wonder that some of that, those dementia and Alzheimer's things are really us opening up into other realms of reality. They're not so bad as we might define them. That they're less connected to the physical realm and they're more connected to the spiritual realms and other dimensions of reality where they're working through their own stuff. That's another conversation. I don't want to sidetrack too much. Yeah. It's a great question, and I appreciate the question. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Debbie.
Okay. I think this is fascinating. I'm so like eating all this up. So what I noticed is I feel like I'm really imbalanced this way because my weak areas are definitely like the lower chakras, one and two in particular. But then I think my strengths are definitely the upper chakras. So I feel like almost like that image of when people are leaving their body and dying, like I'm really open up here. In fact, maybe too open because I can get lots of information that sometimes I don't need all that information. Mm-hmm. And then I really hardly relate to the first chakra. I feel like, just really struggle with the bottom one. So I don't know, like you said that, you know, with practice, our intuitive abilities can get better. So I feel like that's already real, flows real easy. But with practice, I'm hoping that the grounding and the root chakra can get better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think again, it's the same thing, right? We really need to practice where we're weak to bring balance in more. And you'll be able to do that. You know, you can look at some of those exercises in the book. You can think about things that help you feel more grounded and more connected to your body and to the earth. And, you know, and you'll notice it through the way you're manifesting in life, whatever way that you want that to be. You know, it's like even if you think about something like somebody who reads recipes but never cooks. And so we know when we're actually cooking the recipe that's root chakra. We're manifesting. So that's good.
I had one other sensation that came up I didn't expect. When people were talking about maybe feeling nauseous I started to feel like a headache, which I normally don't have, but I have had a few in my life when I was too open.
Mm-hmm.
So I did try to work on grounding, and then the pain started to go away. So,
beautiful.
So for me, I think sometimes I actually have, my distortion is trying to not let as much energy in up here and maybe balancing it. That was just a new awareness.
Yeah, I would, rather than thinking of not letting too much energy in, I would encourage you to think of making your root chakra match how big and open your crown chakra is.
Okay.
Right? Make them match by making the root chakra bigger. Don't worry about your crown chakra. It's fine. You're fine. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Chris, let's jump down to you there.
Well, I feel like my heart chakra is definitely the more dominant chakra. And I feel like my throat chakra is probably one of my weaker ones.
Okay.
Probably, it's not so much expressing my truth. It's more just having like the right to be heard or having a voice. I think that's something that I've struggled with, mm-hmm. but I feel like it's getting stronger lately.
Mm-hmm. Good, 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 good. So I love that you can discern like that feeling of the right to be heard. It's not that you don't know what you want to say. It's the struggle is the right to feel that you can actually say it.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Martha.
Hello. Well, let's see. I can see where all my life I think I've been weak in some of them, and you have to just choose to develop. And spiritually, my crown is probably my biggest asset because I'm well grounded in faith and positivity and can turn to that when there's struggles and challenges, but in terms of which helps you get through all those chakras. I felt like this last week that I was playing all the notes on all the chakras because of just the people I had to deal with last week. And which kind of made it interesting exercise. I've always been intuitive and can sense something and read something. And of course, being in sales, you know, I'm trained to learn body language that helps you like look at emotion. And, you know, I'll realize something before somebody else in the room. And so my weak ones are sometimes I'm afraid to speak because when you do that, then, and as kind of more of a leadership person in most situations, it takes a lot of courage. So being well-rooted in the first chakra kind of disturbs everything else sometimes when you deal with people. And so that's what my week was like, playing with all those chakras because I had to have courage to speak up and be heard when I didn't want to. And guard my heart. Feelings hurt when you speak up. And then, of course, coming out of two abusive relationships, you know, there's a big, you got to take a big jump to go out there and be heard and say what's on your mind and in your heart. And sometimes it doesn't come back. It doesn't sit well with other people. Mm-hmm. And so, but yeah, I would say, and the touching was really nice because I think, you know, of course we shower and wash ourselves and brush our hair, but those exercises are so intentional that make you more aware of, oh yeah, I feel this. No, I am awake. I do exist and I do love. So that was a wonderful insight into my life today to do the exercises.
Mm, good.
Because we get so busy, we forget that, oh, I can laugh. I can be silly. I can touch my head. And,
good.
because it's not all business and all everything else.
So just real quick, before we move on, I'll just say, you know, this sharing what you need to say to other people and then tolerating their response, right? So being able to know what you need to say, and that's the work of some of the third chakra stuff. So that you might want to take a look at, you know, what you can do to strengthen that a little bit more too. Thank you, Martha. Angelica.
I apologize for my sound, everybody. I'm in a public place. My weakest ones are number 2 and number 6. And I have a burning question, and it kind of applies to myself as well as a student. How do you, Laura, or anybody, communicate the chakras to the Western mind that it just sounds so abstract? Have you had success explaining or defining it?
Well, I don't use language for people who don't know that language. I won't use that word. You know, I'll use language that they can relate to or understand. I mean, I have a lot of clients who they're not into chakras, you know, and I don't really use those words with them. So, but you can say, you know, wow, do you feel really, so say if it's a second chakra issue, it might sound something like, wow, do you feel, you know, tell me how it feels to feel blocked in that area for you, or, you know, or tell me what that area feels like in your body. I'll go to their body. I'll have them talk about their bodily sensations in those areas. So you work with people's belief systems and the language that they use. And that you will learn how to do in the transpersonal counseling class, where you learn how to use the language that your clients are using to help them to go deeper in what works for them. Is that helpful?
Yes, it is. And also, just for myself, I'm curious. What's another way I can think about the chakras? Because I'm a science person. I like to understand the mechanics of things, how things work. How can I understand what it is? You call it an energy vortex.
Yes, there's, you know, if you want to read a little bit more of the science behind this, the Barbara Brennan book, Hands of Light, has a lot of really, she was a NASA scientist. I mean, she wrote that book from a very scientific background, and there are research studies out there that actually prove the existence of chakras. And so, you know, there's the Rolf study. If you want to just Google the Rolf study, R-O-L-F, Ida Rolf did a study with the chakras with Rosalind Briere, who was a psychic who could see the chakras really clearly. And so there's a lot of research out there that you could take a look at, but the Hands of Light book especially has a lot of very scientific sort of, oh, yeah, Jill's got it right there. She's showing you the cover. So, yeah, so that book could be helpful to you.
I'm waiting on it from the library. I have it on.
Oh, very good. Okay, thank you, Angelica. Valerie.
Well, as I was reading through the manual about all of these, I got thoroughly confused, and I see strengths in every one of them and weaknesses in every one of them. And then I was wondering, how does the trauma and all of that come in and impact what's closed and opened and all? And then as you've gone through it today, I think the sixth stands out. Yet there's so much that I have not been able to access, which has been frustrating. And then also I think the heart, and I think that's a strength, and yet it's also guarded and careful about what it opens up to. So it's been really interesting.
Yeah. You know, I would say to you that one of the words I hear most out of your mouth is confused. Confused is your theme. So whenever we use a repeated word, right, language, right, so we can look to the chakra, right? And you're right. I think that's very much sixth chakra related for you. And I'm going to do something I don't very often do. I'm going to tell you that, I'll just say my experience of you is not that there's an issue with your heart chakra. I experience you as very open in your heart. And I think that the reason that you have that problem is because of your confusion of seeing it, is because of the confusion. So I would still encourage you to look to the development of the sixth chakra for yourself. Just to take a closer look at that. So just notice that you know, when there's our language, our use of language reflects so much of where we are with our own chakra system, and you know, the words, the semantics that we use. So thank you, Valerie, for sharing that.
Thank you.
Lynn.
This is why I really love this class being here, because I just learned so much over and over again. Because of my survival patterns, my crown chakra tends to be more open. And when you were going through the chart again, I mean, as many times as I've seen it, when you were talking about the will side with speaking, and you were describing your client, I was like, oh, yep, that's me. Mm-hmm. I was brought up to be nice. I mean, there's a saying, we're Minnesota nice. Mm-hmm. And if you don't say anything that could offend anybody, and it's not that you have to when speaking your truth. And so that is something that I wrote in my notes that I really need to explore, that it's okay to speak up and share in a nice way, whatever that means, whatever the heck, you know, don't you know, that it's okay to speak up and share that, and nothing bad will happen. I will be safe and okay. Because of these survival patterns, I've really worked to make sure I'm grounded and have my root chakra feeling safe and secure. And so, you know, the connection above and below, I feel taken care of.
Mm. Beautiful. Great. Thanks for sharing that. And also those insights and self-observations. That's great. Great, great, great. And that's how I learned it too, over and over and over again. I mean, I took classes repeatedly to get it. So thanks, Lynn. Kimberly.
In the moment, it's my second chakra. I'm challenged with feeling this sense of not enough time. Not enough, not enough time. And then not good enough because I don't have enough time. So that's the current challenge in the moment. But generally speaking, also for me, very much more open up here and more of a struggle in the lower chakras.
Thanks for sharing that. So thank you, everybody. I love all the sharing that happened today. I love the insights and the self-reflections. And I would encourage you to practice these exercises, these chakra exercises. Jan, I love that you're doing them 10 times a week. That's so fantastic. And feeling the benefit of that. So even if you just pick one chakra to work with for yourself and do a little routine till the next time, that would be probably, you would find a lot of benefit from that. So have a wonderful session with Kimberly in 2 weeks. I will be thinking of all of you, I know, but I'll look forward to seeing you again at the, that'll be our fifth class, at our sixth class and our last class, so I'll be back with you for that. And you know, feel free to email me any questions in the meantime, and have a wonderful rest of your weekend, everybody. Thank you. Good work.
Have a good trip.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'll come back with a story or two for you. Okay. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody. Bye.